Lansing voters narrowed the field of 2016 city council candidates in yesterday's primary election. In the capital city's third ward, voters chose challenger Adam Hussein and incumbent A-Lynn Bowles to square off in November. In yesterday's at-large runoff, voters chose our next two guests to be among the four on the ballot in November. Emily Devendorf is the former executive director of Equality Michigan, a statewide organization that advocates for the state's LGBT citizens. Welcome back, Emily.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thanks.
Patricia Spitzley is a Lansing-based official with the Racer Trust, which works to redevelop properties owned by General Motors before its 2009 bankruptcy. And Patricia's on the line from Traverse City today here. Welcome, Patricia.
Thank you. Good morning.
One hurdle down, one to go for both of you here. And I want to make clear, current state will invite both of the other at-large candidates, Carol Wood and Harold Lehman Jr., to join us before the general election to discuss the issues. Let me ask both of you to first to briefly explain why you chose to run. Patricia Spitzley, what about you?
Well, I've been looking at running for Lansing City Council for a while. I mean, I feel that public service is one of the highest things that you can do for your community. I've been on the Parks Board, and I am also on the Airport Board right now. And so, when an opportunity came and there was an open seat, I felt like this was the right time to run.
Emily Devendorf, what about you?
Yes, I also have a career in public service. I've been doing political work, public policy, and been working in civil rights. And I haven't had as much of a chance as I would have liked to focus on the local issues. I've been working statewide. I've been working on HIV advocacy, LGBT advocacy, statewide foreclosure reform at one time. So this was a great opportunity to buckle down and really have a direct impact on my community, on my neighborhoods.
And I'm led to believe that Mayor Bernero reached out to both of you about this. Patricia Spitzley, is that correct?
Well, a number of people have been talking to me about running. Again, you know, I've been on the Parks Board and I'm on the Airport Board. So again, when the open seat came, it was a good time to run. The mayor also reached out to me, but a number of other people have also reached out to me and asked me to run.
Would you have run if the mayor had not reached out to you?
I would not have run if there wasn't an open seat.
But did the mayor's conversation with you really make the difference?
The mayor did speak to me, but I spoke with my family and my children, and I also spoke to a number of people in the community that I trust before I made the decision. So it was a combination of all of those discussions and the open seat.
Emily, what about you?
I had not considered running for city council or any elected position before Vince Delgado decided not to run again, and I too had a conversation with the mayor. However, when I was approached by it, both by the mayor and a number of other local community leaders, I had the opportunity to sit down and think about whether I was satisfied with how Lansing was running itself, how our leaders were working together. And at a certain point, I actually had a conversation with my mom and was explaining how the campaign would work. And she said, Emily, it doesn't even sound like you like these people. And I said, well, I like a lot of them as human beings. I know them and like them as human beings. But you're right. The way they're working together is irresponsible. And that is what ended up making the final decision for me.
Well, I don't want to belabor this because, strictly speaking, the mayor's not breaking any formal rules that I'm aware of by doing this, but he did reach out to both of you. Would you have run if the mayor had not reached out to you?
At this point in my career, I probably would have been continuing to do more background work in social justice and public policy. I don't tend to be somebody who loves to be the person in the front, but I'll do what needs to be done for my community. So I absolutely would not have considered it, not knowing that Vince Delgado was not going to run again. But after having heard that and hearing that I would have the support of Lansing City leaders, I felt like this was perhaps what I need to do right now for myself and my community.
Well, there's no shortage of more substantive issues to address than this. Let's move on. Issues involving the Lansing Board of Water and Light are probably the most discussed city issues these days. Before I ask whether the city should sell the Lansing Board of Water and Light. Patricia Spitzley, just tell us whether it's okay to explore that idea. Is that acceptable? Is that a good idea?
Well, I think the first thing we all need to do is just pause and take a deep breath. It's been in the press a lot, and it's a very inflammatory and polarizing subject. I think that, you know, as we are looking at trying to address some legacy issues with pensions and retirement costs, and as we're looking at balancing our budget and making sure we put money in our rainy day fund, we need to look at all of our assets and, you know, do a very detailed, thoughtful study into the value of all of our assets, into the whether or not it's appropriate to, you know, sell City Hall, look at our parks, and the Lansing Board of Water and Light is an asset that we should look at. Having said that, it's also an asset that I think is a wonderful tool for economic development. So any discussion about the sale of the Lansing Board of Water and Light cannot be done lightly. It must, you know, the review must be done thoughtfully. I propose a review and an audit of the Lansing Board of Water and Light, including its worth, but also how it's run, so that, you know, we can get that information from this independent source, have all the information in front of us, and then have a discussion, but have a thoughtful discussion, not a discussion in the press.
Well, you're not already on the record as opposing a sale then?
I do oppose the sale at this point. I do.
But your mind could be changed if after a careful deliberation?
I think it would be irresponsible for me to say, no, I would never consider selling the Lansing Board of Water and Light. I also think it's irresponsible of me to say, you know, yes, I will sell without, you know, looking at everything and without having this detailed review of the board and having a detailed review of all of our city assets.
Emily Devendorf, where do you stand regarding a sale, and where do you stand regarding studying a sale?
Yes, because to me they're very much two different things. And the study for me would have to be not just of the value of the Board of Water and Light and an evaluation of how that functions for the city and how we benefit, but it should be an evaluation, an inventory of how we're functioning as a city, period, whether the way that we are operating is sustainable for the short and long term. So I do believe that selling the Board of Water and Light should be an absolute last resort. I think that we're really jumping into this by saying that we may have a bankruptcy, and I do think we should absolutely look into exactly what the size of that crisis may be. But to have our answer to that immediately be to go to one of our greatest assets, as Patricia said. We should not be going to one of our most delectable wells in order to try to solve our crisis first and foremost. We should not be paying for our past mistakes with one of our greatest assets.
My guests on Current State, Emily Devendorf and Patricia Spitzley, both will be at-large candidates for Lansing City Council here coming this November after their success in last night's primary election. What did you make of Patricia, what did you make of the poll recently indicating significant resistance to the idea? 85%, I believe it was Epic MRA, polled 85% resistance to the idea of selling the BWL. Did that surprise you? Did that not surprise you? What?
Well, it didn't really surprise me. You know, I think that people recognize that the Board of Water and Light is a local gem, and, you know, and that it should be something that we don't, you know, throw away without a thoughtful process. I was on the Citizens Review team when we looked at the board after the ice storm, and we went through and did a thoughtful review and came up with a number of recommendations. And one of those recommendations was to, you know, look at the processes, you know, have a detailed review, have a detailed audit of the board, and look at processes of what needs to be changed. And so I still think we need to do that. I still think that we need to look at all of our assets in the city, not just the Lansing Board of Water and Light. And so, you know, I understand that concern about just, selling it without having this thoughtful review.
Very good. Let's move on here. Emily Devendorf, what do you make of the plans for a possible casino for downtown Lansing? How open to that are you? Do you support it? Do you oppose it?
I actually oppose a casino in downtown Lansing. I come from the perspective of casinos as being, yes, revenue creators, yes, job creators, but I don't think we should be going to those who are most needy in order to solve any of our economic struggles. And essentially, I think that when we put an institution of gambling in the middle of an urban center, then we are taxing the poor in order to fill some gaps and to create that growth.
How are you taxing the poor? Are you saying the poor tend to patronize casinos?
Well, yes and no. People who are in desperate situations look for quick fixes out of necessity, out of feeling of needing to get by. Needing to get their food on the table. And if Lansing wants to create growth, we should be creating jobs and really finding ways to better support our communities and create better stability rather than to hang something out there that is just a quick fix.
Briefly, Patricia Spitzley, what do you favor a casino for downtown Lansing?
I'm open to looking at all economic development opportunities to come into the city. I will say this. I've been to communities where there is a casino in their downtown. Cleveland is a great example, and they seem to have done a very good job of marrying that activity into their downtown so that, it is a positive venture. So I would be open to looking at all economic development opportunities.
The city council recently voted unanimously to rescind NioWave's $500,000 tax break with the city because the company failed to completely finish a remodel of a building in the Walnut neighborhood. Was the council right, Emily Devendorf, was the council right to vote to take that back?
I think the council was right to vote to take that back. Of course, that vote doesn't actually accomplish the rescinding of that because by state law, there is no way that is spelled out to rescind that tax abatement.
Correct. But it was a statement of principle, it would appear. Did you agree with that statement of principle? Would you have voted to rescind?
I do. I do believe that I agree with that statement of principle. It was a clear advocating for the needs of the community, and it was a statement that the community and our input was not involved or considered enough in this company's decision to build itself, how to build itself, and frankly, it was a promise broken.
We've got 1 minute. Patricia, I want to turn to you. How should Lansing residents view NioWave after this pole barn chapter and all of the fallout here? Are they good corporate citizens, or does this tarnish their reputation?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that the agreements that were entered or the promises made were not kept. I would have also voted to rescind the tax breaks, even though it didn't have an effect. But it was a solidarity vote because I think when companies come in and they make certain representations to the communities, they should keep those. As a council member, I think I would work with the council and the administration to make sure that whatever development agreements that are entered into have a mechanism by which we can go back to a company like NioWave and say, you didn't fulfill these commitments, and therefore X, Y, and Z can happen. We may not be able to rescind the tax breaks, but I think with a development agreement, we would be able to have a tool available to us to go back to them and help them to fulfill their promises.
Very good. So much more to talk about, but we are out of time, I'm afraid. We want to thank Patricia Spitzley, a Lansing-based official with the Racer Trust. She'll be a candidate for Lansing City Council at large, along with Emily Devendorf, former Executive Director of Equality Michigan, and another at-large candidate for Lansing City Council come November. Thanks to both of you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.